Our first speaker, let me introduce please, is Crystal W.
Hey family. Hi family, I'm Crystal, I'm an addict. Okay. I am so overwhelmed. I thought I was going to at least be able to say something. Before I start crying. I just want to thank the convention committee for thinking enough of me and what they see in my recovery to ask me to come out and share my experience, strength, and hope on this topic. I'm hopeful that that's why they asked me. The name of the topic is Network. Is it a posse or a mob? So I'm hopeful. It is because they've seen my walk in recovery and my application of the principles into my life that they wanted me to come share with you all about this topic. When Nate first asked me, he had given me three titles. One of them was The Therapeutic Value of One Addict Helping Another. One was being lonely in the rooms, and the last was this one. And of course, I chose the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. And when I told him that title, I got off the phone with him, and I called my sponsor, and I told her which one I had chosen, and she was like, girl, you know you could have had some fun with Network. Posse, a mob, and he called me back and he said, I think I want you to do Network. Is it a posse, a mob? So this week while I was at work, I emailed my grand sponsor and I told her the title of the workshop and I asked her if she had any suggestions. Was there anything that I could go to in the literature that referenced Network? So she sent me an email, said, I'll get back to you. And what she did was she sent me an email later on with definitions of posse, the mob, and the network. So I'm Crystal and I'm an addict. And I was sitting here and I was thinking, and you know, once they give you a topic, you automatically go into what you're going to talk about. And I really tried not to do that because before coming to the network, I simply asked my high power to remove the ego because there's no room in this room for it and had me share what I need to share, not only to help someone in the room, but so that I can get whatever help I need. So when I was sitting here, I was just thinking how coming up, my story was really just about me wanting to be a part of something. I just always wanted to be accepted. I always wanted to be popular. I always wanted to walk into a room, and when you see me, you know, I just wanted to, hey, I wanted to always, you know, walk a few steps, somebody else know me. I wanted people to come around me, and when they leave me, feel good about having been there, right? But coming up, you know, I didn't understand that that's what that was. You know, I just wanted to be a part of. So if you were doing something and you happen to be a part of a posse, and you look cool, then I was with it. And I, the first thought that I had was the girls that I grew up with on my street, and how we would meet up after school after we had done our homework. We would jump double dutch. We would do hopscotch. You know, we would kickball in the back alleys. You know what I'm saying? And then I had thoughts of when I got to junior high school and the young ladies that I had chosen to hang out with were cutting class. and they were going to the high school, and I wanted to be with them. And by the time I got to junior high school, I was smoking weed already. I was smoking cigarettes because somewhere in between Double Dutch and Hopscotch, somebody showed me how to roll a joint. Somewhere in between kickball and swinging off the limb in the alley, somebody told me how to inhale cigarettes. You know what I'm saying? So by the time I got to junior high school and the people were hooking school to go smoke weed and go up to Coolidge, I was with it. You know, and because I had started getting high so early, I had become a part of the clique that a lot of people wanted to get with. The definition of a posse is a body or force armed with legal authority. The body of men slash women that a peace officer of a county is empowered to call to assist him slash her in preserving the peace. And my grand sponsor has parenthetical a good thing. The definition of a mob is a criminal gang. A disorderly, riotous, or lawless crowd of people. A group of persons stimulating one another to excitement and losing ordinary rational control over their activity. Then there's a parenthetical, not a good thing. And they asked me to come do this topic. Between smoking cigarettes and smoking weed, I learned how to cook up coke. I learned how to freebase. At the end of my story, I was homeless. I had a son that I wasn't seeing. I had grandparents that were tired of me. I had a mother that was so ashamed of me. And my residence was a crack house. And it was the same residence of all the other rejects from the hood. There was a bucket in the back room where everybody pissed in. Threw used condoms in, spit in, you know, and we would dump that bucket in the drain of the basement steps. And that's the door that we used to go in and out of that door, out of that basement. And it stank back there. And I ain't had no problem going back there doing what I needed to do to get what you had. And it really ain't had to be a lot. Just enough. You know, and we had a mob up in there. NBC. We had a mob. And I remember leaving that one night, and it was raining outside, it was cold outside, I was standing in the alley, didn't have anywhere to go, I was crying. And I was right down the street from my grandmother's house. I was right down the street from the girls' houses that I played Double Dutch with. I was in the alley where we played kickball, and I had reduced myself. Not the people I chose to hang with, not the girls that I was hooking school with, not the niggas that I started messing with. I had reduced myself to animalistic behavior. I left the crack house. The next day I went home. I told my grandmother that I wanted to come back. She said that I could if you start going to them meetings. And I promised her that I would, and the next day I did. I detoxed in the rooms. My clean date is 97, November 27. I just celebrated. It's 97. 97. November 27. 97. Got it?
You know that, though.
Yeah. Uninterrupted. That's the what? When I got to the aftercare program that I was going to, because it was just a meeting for me, I didn't know that I had signed on for an outpatient program. I just started going to the meeting because they had a meeting there every day at 11 o'clock. And I ain't had no job, so I could make a meeting. And when I started going to the meeting, my grandmother had to go with me. Because my grandfather wasn't letting me drive a car by myself. And my grandmother suffers from arthritic pain, and there were these flights of steps that we had to climb just to get to the meeting. And my grandmother would make that climb with me every day. And I got to the meeting, and I cried from the first day. Can you believe that? I had come in with so much shame and guilt, right? I couldn't believe that I had become the person that I had become. I couldn't believe that when I decided that I was just going to party with y'all for a little bit, that it was going to have me not wanting to go to work, not wanting to finish college, not wanting to be a mother, not wanting to be a daughter. I couldn't have been a wife. I was too much of a trick. So I came in and I shared because they said this was an honest program. You get freedom from your tears. And I shared and I shared and I shared. And I started going to other meetings and I heard somebody share a horrific story. And that day she had the baddest Gucci pocketbook. Can you be my sponsor? And she had some nice shoes on too. And she talked about how she tricked and how she stank while she was tricking. And she didn't care. She didn't care the niggas was turning their nose up. She didn't care. She shared some stuff that I could relate to. And I got in her hip pocket, right? And I remember the first time we hung out was at her house, and it was around Christmas. And she asked me to wrap all these Christmas gifts. That in the literature. But I wrapped the gifts because I was with my sponsor and it was on Christmas. It was before Christmas and I wasn't getting high. And I didn't know that I wouldn't be able to not get high when Christmas came a few days later. Because see, that's what I did. Those were the gifts to me. That's what I did. You know, it's Christmas, break me off. You understand? Or I went and I did a little something extra. I grabbed a little something extra in the store. You know what I'm saying? Instead of charging you for the five baby oils, just go ahead and give me something for three. You understand? Christmas. So 3 days before that, I was wrapping all these gifts and I was chilling with my sponsor. But what happened is because I was crying so much and I was dealing with so much shame and guilt and she wasn't talking to me about steps, I really just needed her to be with me. I just really needed nurturing. I needed what I needed when I first got here. And because she was going through the stuff that she was going through, she couldn't provide it. And what she would do, she would shut down. So I would be crying and needing my sponsor, and I can't talk to her. I'm leaving messages. She won't answer her cell phone. What is going on? I need you. You know, I had put all my eggs in one basket. The definition of a network. Any widespread, highly organized system or activity. My grand sponsor put in parentheses, what kind of activities define your network? That's my grand sponsor. And I went back to this daily meeting, right, and there was a young lady who dressed really nice also. She wore tennis shoes. right? And she beat her face really nice. Every day she came in, she was a hairdresser, and her hair was flawless, and her makeup was bam. And when she talked loud. Everybody could hear. And I asked her to replace the sponsor that would put me on the back burner whenever she was going through stuff. And she stepped up, and she was like, I've been waiting for you to ask me. So we started hanging out and stuff, and I would meet her at the meeting, and she was sharing, and she was helping all of us, and we was, that's my sponsor. I'm doing what this thing say. You know, I'm going to meetings every day. I got a sponsor, and then I said something to her about step work. And I asked her who was she doing her step work with. Because I wanted to know who her sponsor is, because it don't stop at get a sponsor. It says get a sponsor who has a sponsor, who has a sponsor that has the working knowledge of the steps. Network. And when I asked her who she did her step work, she said herself and her high power. So I started looking again. And I started going to other meetings, and it was this really, really nice spiritual meeting that I would go to on Sundays called St. Martin's, and there was another lady in there. She really ain't, you know, it was probably a coach bag, you know, without, you know. And she had some nice boots on. She had a short little haircut, and she shared about being in unhealthy relationships. Can you be my sponsor? And she stepped up. And I'm going to tell you what's awesome about this program. She introduced me to some women. Jesus. That I wouldn't have chosen. I wouldn't have looked at him and said, I need to get in that click. I wouldn't have. And the speaker is one of my favorite people from that network. And my grand sponsor sent me, I told her I was so nervous over the email. She sent me an email back and said, I think it's Clarissa W. that's doing the network, doing the workshop with you. I said, good God, my. Because she's from that network of women. So I went. It's 7 months clean. And I was so cute, and I was so nice, and I was so humble, and I just needed their help, and I just was loving y'all, and I was quiet and sat in the side. And just listen to all this experience in here. We used to go, we used to meet once a month on Sundays, and I got to know some awesome women. And they got to know me. And they still said, keep coming back. They still invited me back to their house. I think the only reason Sharon Q said come back is because I made a bomb cold pasta salad. But the nigga said come back, and I went. And it was a lot of experience in that room. It was a lot of honesty. It was a lot of crying, a lot of compassion. And I remember having an experience with one of the women. And I remember getting in my feelings about that experience and really wanting to walk away from that network, you know. But I went to the workshop, and I sat there with that experience, and I had shared with my sponsor how I felt about that experience, right? And because I was acting differently this particular day, and the women had known me, they had come to see that I would share, you know what I'm saying? I would talk, I would laugh, I would, you know, I was there, I was fellowshipping. And this particular day, I was acting differently. And everybody at the workshop noticed, and a couple of them they was trying to find out what was going on. You know, what's wrong with her? Why she acting on like that? Y'all remember the definition of a mob? And what I shared was, I don't have to tell y'all what I'm feeling. And you ain't gonna make. And we had gone back and forth, and my sponsor was trying to get me to share what I had felt. And I was like, I will deal with the individual on my own. And when they found out which individual it was, a lot of people who had been in that family a lot longer than I had done what I do, taking on her feelings, you know, decided that I was in the wrong. And it was a couple of women that sat on the side, man, and made me feel like I ain't belong there no more because I felt what I felt, right? And when I finally shared what was going on, it was like, y'all asked me to share what was going on. Now that I done shared what was going on, y'all acting like this. And that workshop ended up being one where I saw how much they loved their sponsor. That's all it was. And I wasn't mature enough. Them niggas still told me to keep coming back. One of them told me she wanted to wring my neck. But she said, keep coming back. And I told her, if you hit me, I will hit your big butt with a chair. You're just going to be hitting me. But they still told me to keep coming back. And they hugged me even harder that day. So I stayed, and I started my step work with that sponsor, and my sponsor and I grew together. You know, she went through her stuff. I was going through my stuff. Sometimes we went through it together. Sometimes we had to go through it apart. Sometimes she didn't understand mine. Sometimes I didn't understand hers. But I loved her nonetheless. But I got to a place where I really, really needed more. And thank God for knowing that I need more. Because I was told that one of the biggest mistakes an addict can do is allow another addict to dictate when you grow. So I had done a fourth step, and I had been sitting on this fourth step, and the dates, the appointments that we were making kept getting pushed back. And one day I decided that if she breaks this date, I'm going to ask somebody else. And that particular morning she called me, and sure enough, she was canceling, and I started looking again. And I went to a meeting that Thursday, and a young lady shared. I had only heard her share one time before, and I said, I need an outlet. I had done my fourth step. I was living with a guy. I was telling a guy that I was going to marry him. I was messing with a youngin' on my job. I was pregnant, and I didn't know whose baby it was. And it wasn't the nigga I was living with. So one of the people that I was sleeping with told me, that's your fourth step. You can't sit on that like that. You need an outlet. So the young lady told me that on that Thursday that she would make herself available, and she did. The next day we started meeting up. We met at a park every day. After work, I met with her about 10 days. And I did a fifth step with this young lady. And I don't know where the trust came from. All I knew is that y'all said, share that fourth step. And I went to her, and I made her. That's all. Jeez, I made her my sponsor, and we. She ended up becoming just as unavailable as the person I had left. Now, in what had started to happen was I had a young lady who had started going with me to the outpatient program, and we were hanging. She was my dog. She was an Aquarius. We had to, you know, she was left-handed. Her birthday was in November. Her birthday was in February. Her clean day was in November, you know. And she started introducing me to people in her network. And they had taken me, look, they had brought me to Ocean City. I had made plans to come down with a guy that I had been in a relationship with that was very unhealthy. The plans fell off. They said, come. I told them I ain't had no money. They said, come anyway. So I got with those women, and I started hanging with those women, and I started loving those women. And my girlfriend, whose sponsor was the bomb, started sponsoring me without her even knowing it. And right before her anniversary, I told her, you know you're my sponsor, right? And, Karen, I love you so much. I thought my sponsor wasn't going to be here. And when I came back, because I have some friends who said you need to take some time. You need to settle down. And they took me away from here. They took me home. They got me in a circle. They prayed with me. And when we came back, I was on my way up here, and my sponsor came around the corner. I started crying like, I don't know about my sponsor. What's going on here? And she's awesome. You know, I used to buck her. I used to buck that nigga. I used to buck her because we used to go to this women's rap, and I used to share about where I was going. And every time I shared, she would share behind me. Like, why she always got sharing my solution? I'm not. So we'd be saying, God, you know, the serenity prayer. I'd be in the circle like, this nigga always got Man, and I bucked that thing, right? And I bucked it, and I bucked it. But God knew what I needed. God knew what I needed. And I really just wanted to share. And I wanted to share so much more on this network because they have been my rock. My rock. And I'm going to give you the definition that I think network should be. My sisters, my brothers, my friends, people that have my back, people that laugh with me, people that cry with me, people that rock with me. Last year when I came to Ocean City, I was pregnant. And I went home, and while I was here, I started spotting. And they told me to take it easy, but I couldn't. I was at the convention. I'm walking. I'm fellowshipping. And I went home 3 weeks later, I lost the baby. And that network, and that was in May. And it was like a year before that, it was like that network family was being hit. It was like everybody was going through something. We had a brother relapse. That shook us. You know, we had a girlfriend whose boyfriend committed suicide right in front of her. We had a girlfriend whose mom had died. It was so much stuff. My girlfriend, my sister... her husband got locked up. It was so much stuff that we were dealing with. And it was like, this network is under attack. It's under attack. Every time I turned around, something was happening to somebody. But what I saw was every time something happened, this family flocked to their aid. We did not go through anything alone. Nothing. Nothing. It was like I got on the horn, I would call so-and-so, so-and-so would call so-and-so, Tina was letting so-and-so know, Jacation was throwing prayers. We were showing up for one another. We were showing up. We were loving each other. We were being friends to one another. I am able to, I tell all the people, I know the blessing that friendship is. I recognize the blessing that friendship is. And I have friends because I am able to be a friend. You know, I do for people, man. Just because I love people to smile. Believe it or not, I just love people to smile. I just love people to feel what this program is about. It's about freedom. It's about not worrying where I'm getting the next one from. It's about not worrying if I caught that shit because I slept with him without a condom. It's about not worrying if my grandmother's going to find out that I took the money from my son's piggy bank. I used to take the change out of my son's piggy bank. And today, people showed up for me. Today, when I said I'm cooking, niggas was like, where you at? Where you stay? What's up with that? They show up for me. You know, I had a sponsee who left. I'm gonna share this, and I'm gonna stop. I had a sponsor, a young lady who invited me into her life. She asked me to sponsor her, and I did the same thing with her that I did with everybody else who asks me into their life. I let them get to know me. You know, I don't act like I'm anything other than what I am. I am a recovering addict that is subject to lunch out on any given day. And I've done step work. I'm a recovering addict that knows the blessings of this program, but I would still forfeit that shit in the name of, I don't know who I am. And she decided, like the decisions I made, that she didn't need me in her life. You understand? And I was okay with that. And she made the decision without notification. But I told her if she decided that she needed another sponsor, then I wouldn't hold it against you. My sponsor said if she can't get no help from you, Crystal, she don't want no help. Let her go. And I have a problem with holding on to things that aren't good for me, too. And I told her, go, go, go. And I still tried to love her, even after she made the decision. And I have encountered a lot of stuff as a result of whatever it is she's feeling about me. You know, and I have decided this year that I just was not going to engage a whole bunch of nonsense. I'm not going to do it. I don't need you to know who I am. If you come, I don't even, look, bye. I don't have to engage it. And I've had a number of people just try to do things to just get me engaged. Take, look, just because I go through a lot of stuff in here, do not equate that to misery. I'm not a miserable person. I'm just an addict dealing with life on life's terms. And the literature said that I ain't going to be good all the time. But don't equate that shit to misery, because I ain't miserable. And if you're searching in this area because you're looking for misery, then you're looking in the wrong direction. So take your miserable out. Wow. Because the posse said, or the mob said, and I told everybody that I was not going to do no shouting out. I wasn't going to say no big ups to none of my people, none of that. But my home group is stepping out of trouble into study. And it's at Tuesdays at 7 o'clock, and we read out of the Step Study Guide. And that's one of the best meetings in town. Yeah. And I have an extended network. I have an extended network of people that I'm not sponsoring them. They're not sponsoring me. Nobody that is in my family is sponsoring them, but they love me. And I love them too. And they love me they love me even though I have showed them who I am. That's the blessing of this program. Thank God for letting me share.
Thank you, Crystal. Our next speaker is Clarissa W.
I'm Clarissa, and I'm an addict. And y'all know y'all shouldn't shout like that. My head is susceptible, but still get big, you know? When I found out that Crystal and I was doing this meeting together, and Tina been going around all day promoting us. We started to put a cardboard on the front and her back. You know? I said, dang, we're going to come up in there, and it's going to be a mob of people up in there. And a posse? Okay. I'd like to thank my high power for allowing me this opportunity. I'd like to thank my sponsor for guiding me so that I could have this opportunity. I'd like to thank my network, my posse, and my mob for allowing me to grow to be just what I am and okay with it 98% of the time. And I, too, look up words. When I look up words, I look up words, and I, Miriam, all of them, they give you 4, 5, 6 definitions. I choose the definition that fits me. Because today I know me just a little bit better. You know, in school, when they told you look up words, you just look up words, you wrote it down, you hand in the paper. Today, I look up words and I say, does that apply to me? To network, fabric, or structure, crossing at regular intervals. Extended group of people with similar interests or concerns who remain in informal contact for mutual assistance or support. That fits me, because I need you people in my life. Posse, a group of people summoned by a sheriff to come and get you like they did me. They sent a posse after me. See, the things I did when I practiced caused them, don't tell it, oh. The things I did when I used, I embezzled money. So they had to send people like FBI, Secret Service, because I embezzled money from government. And I say embezzled money, I like that word. It's a big $10 word and shit. I stole. Posse's also a group of friends or associates. A mob, mind you, I ain't stepping on nobody's toes. I pick stuff that fits me. Mob, lower class of a community. That's where I come from. That's what they told me. A group of people, also just like Crystal said, disorderly crowd bent on rioting stuff, okay. And I looked at all three of these, and I see where networks, see, because I got, they told me when I look at the symbol and when I heard things when I first came in here, they told me the broader the base, bigger your network. So I had to broaden my base, and I've been fortunate enough to just go a few places to other conventions. And I got people's phone number, and it's, nobody likes to spend money long distance, and I'm no exception, but every now and then I talk to people in Atlanta. You know, I talk to people in California. They let me know when they coming or they coming this way or Ocean City. I have to broaden my base. See, because I'm a person that came in here with a personality that was my sponsor and told me what to do. I was sponsored by my other personality whose name was Diane and told me I didn't need you people. See, and that was my base. That person in the back of my mind. See, and now that I'm finally listening to people, see, for 3 years I came in here and I didn't do nothing with you people. I went to meetings. They said, go to meetings, get a sponsor, pray, don't pick up. I went to meetings, I prayed, I didn't pick up. I did not get a sponsor. And for 3 years in this fellowship, I had no network, no posse, no mob, no sense. No sense. None. And I remember one day I was at a meeting in St. Luke, and some women was over the side talking, and I always liked courage, always wanted to be a part of, but was afraid. And I kept taking deep breaths, and I would inch closer to these women. And I inched close enough, and they were talking about what my sponsor said, and you should do, and girl, you know what? And your sponsor did what? Girl, my sponsor would have. And I tried to be a part of, with 3 years clean, not doing anything but working and going to meetings and not opening my mouth, don't know nobody. Because as soon as the meeting over, I'm off. I went to a meeting, that's what y'all told me to do. And I opened my mouth and said, my sponsor said, whatever I said, they said. Who your sponsor? I say, Diane. Diane was this fictitious person, an alter ego, had no clue of the steps that Narcotics Anonymous. Diane was the person that was still telling me that mob me. See, if there's negative and positive things, I found out to words. See, Diane was telling me a mob was them girls you hang with that want to go to McBride's and steal You know, Diane was the mob, was telling me to be with the mob that was stealing from their parents, see? But I've come to know through this fellowship working some steps, that mob can be a good thing. Mob ain't totally bad. I look at TV. I watched them shows with the gangsters and the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Those were mobs. But that ain't the only mob there is. It's what I've come to know. See, because it's okay for me to have a mob. I have come to associate with people in the fellowship the same way I associated with people when I was using. See, I picked a certain type of people that I would sit at the table with. First, you had to have some money because I ain't had none. Second, you had to have a lot of money because I got high a lot. Third, you had to have some interest in me. You had to show me something, like, I'm willing to share my crack with you. Yeah. You know, you had to show me something. But these were mob people. They would see the dope boys hide their stuff and holler police and one of us run and get it while they ran the street because they didn't want to get locked up. But it was a good thing in being a mob. We had no money to buy nothing. I remember being a part of a posse, you know, when all the girls dressed alike. You know, we used to go to Coney Island and shit, and all the girls wore white jeans and shit. I got my ass beat still in them white jeans with an extension cord. But I was part of the posse because their parents could afford to buy them that. My mother couldn't afford to buy me that. And I listened to the posse to say, we can just go to McBride to steal some. And that's what we did and got caught. I forgot that these women were, just like Crystal was saying earlier, these women were my girlfriends, but they were telling me the wrong things to do. In Narcotics Anonymous, I got a posse, and I have a network. A few things that I value in my network, when I mess up and make a mistake, my network don't say, it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay every time I mess up. And my sponsor tell you, I'm the hardest person on myself. I would rather for you to tell me it's not okay, but it's gonna be okay. Because it's not okay some of the stuff that I do. You know, my sponsor tell me I'm analytical. She right. She be real right most of the time. But I do that because most of the time, I don't get to exercise this muscle in my head called the brain. You know, my life is so A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't get to do a lot of exercise, but once the challenge is there to do it, I don't want to do it. You know, I look for an easier, softer way out. My network doesn't allow me to sit in my hut and hang black curtains. See, I get in them moods and things aren't going right, you know, the man issues, you know, the family issues, and I feel like I want to be depressed and I want to isolate. My network won't let me do that, you know, because see, I'll get in that and I'll start feeling good. It'll start feeling good to me, and I don't want to call nobody. And Lord, help us with this call ID, because I look at the phone and go, not now, not now. I ain't feeling it, not now. I don't want to talk. I want to feel what I'm feeling. You know, and your sponsors, the people, your network tell you to sit with yourself and go through it and feel something. You know, but when you sit with yourself and start going through it and feeling something, they won't leave you the hell alone to feel nothing. Why? But they didn't tell me how long to feel it. If I want to sit in my funk about 3-4 months, okay. It ain't right, but it's okay, you know. I'll come around. And when I come around, they're right there. You know, I was going through a relationship ending. The fourth time. Yeah, same relationship. And each time that the relationship ended and I felt that the pain had been great enough and I wasn't going back, hormones would kick up, loneliness would kick up, and I got to prove I can fix them would kick up, and I'd get back in the relationship. But the last time, the final straw of that relationship, and I knew in my heart of hearts that it was over, and I couldn't explain what I was feeling. See, I have this thing with my network, with my sponsees, we practice feeling words. See, because when I came in here, I only knew how to be angry, mad, and manipulate you with tears. I ain't even going to say crying, sad. I manipulated you with tears. Shit. You know, let's get real. So now when I want to go through something and I'm feeling something in my sponsees, even though I have a broad network, my sponsees and I, we go to, our home group is Women Do Recover on Friday nights. And it's not a male bashing women's rap. No. Because, see, we don't get no help from bashing y'all. No. See, please, y'all is not worth it. We get help from saying, you know what I feel about what he did, and they helped me get to the other side. But when I was going through that and I wanted to be alone and I wanted to deal with them feelings and I wanted to cry, I didn't want to cry, I wanted to be angry, every Friday night when that meeting was over, all my sponsees would come to my house. I like to cook. And I say, let's do some crab legs or shrimp, or I got this to eat. And they would come to my house. And they didn't know it at the time, but I was trying to hold them hostage so I wouldn't feel. You know, I wanted them to stay until I couldn't hold my head up any longer so I could just fall asleep, you know, so I wouldn't think. They didn't know it at the time how they were helping me by me holding them hostage. But you know what? Even when I shared it with them in a meeting and I'm holding my sponsees hostage, they came anyway. They was like, what you doing, Mama? We going over your house. They didn't already talk to each other. They would sit over my house, and it's like, it's a four of us, and one of them named it the Underground. And one would actually keep talking to me, and if they see me stray off, and all three of them in a conversation, and I'm staying off this, what you feeling, Mama? Damn, I don't know. They call me Mama. Don't ask me why. You know, or, you know, asking me what am I feeling and why am I feeling this until I could get to the exact nature. And even when I got to the exact nature, they did not say she all right and left me. This network of women stayed in there with me, stayed a part of being held hostage until I got to the other side. And the other side was, it's not so bad being alone. The other side was, who said being alone was lonely? Because I wasn't lonely, because I had this broad base of network, this women. You know, Crystal would call me, want to do a meeting. I work at night now, baby. And want me to do a meeting. We go people, candle parties. You know, we go over each other's house. We had something to do. We talk on the phone all times of the day. This is what my network does for me. The posse that I have in my life, see, the same type of people I pick from the streets. And I've gotten better through step work. See, because I would come in here and people would whisper, or somebody would do the he say, she say thing, or you know how some of us get, we just don't like you just because. Won't need no damn reason. She wearing blue, don't like her. And the posse in me, the posse in me would go to one of my network people. You know, she talked about me. That bitch crazy. And the posse in my network would say, let's go get her. They was ready to fight. Same kind of people I hung in the street would see, because when I needed to manipulate, I knew who to hang with. I'm a coward. I got to hang with people who know how to fight. Shit. I remember being at a meeting. You know how you be at the meeting after the meeting and people are talking? And I saw some stuff going down over across, you know, across the parking lot. And my car was in gear, and I backed my car up, and I put it apart, got out of my car. I walked over to another car. I say, let's go get her. All right, let's go. They put their car parked, turned it off, and walked. Didn't know what they were walking into. But they trusted me enough, they loved me enough to know that I was doing the right thing. It wasn't about going to fight somebody. It was going to keep something else from somebody else from fighting because of some crazy stuff. So if we remove one of the parties, who the fight is all about, then there'll be no fight. And that's what we did. We went and removed the girl. And she ain't know. I say, let's, she talking to people. I say, let's go right now. Okay. Didn't know till we got all the way to my house and couldn't believe what was happening. A mob was happening outside. It had nothing to do with me. But I figured if you remove the nucleus, the rest of the stuff would just fall by the wayside. And that's what it did. And that's what my network does for me. My network stands beside me. My network doesn't just mean my sponsees. I used to have a problem with that word friends. See, because I would introduce Crystal to Tina and say, Tina, this is Crystal, my best friend. And when we saw somebody that Crystal knew, Crystal said, this is Clarissa. Why ain't I your best friend? You know, and that used to bother me. But you have a right to choose. It don't have to be me. My level of acceptance has taken me to know that just because I choose you as my best friend doesn't mean that you have to choose me. It doesn't have to be reciprocal. And my network consists of my sponsees, my sponsor and her family, her sponsor and her family. And then I have met people along the way, not to mention the people that I grew up with that have found this new way of life just like me. See, they say leave your, you know, don't watch people, places, and things. The people I grew up with that was part of the mob, that created the posse, they know who I'm talking about, they ain't here. To see them in this new way of life and I can still hug them and call them my friend, it's a blessing to me. It is a very much a blessing. I lost my train of thought, I'm sorry. Ooh. Today in my life, I never thought I could have these many friends. I didn't think I was worthy of this many friends. I come to find out people like me, whether they know me or not. They tell me to come back. Let me tell you about when I got a sponsor real quick. Once I told the girls about Diane and they stepped back, this guy came to me, a male came to me and told me, introduced me to a sister to become my sponsor. And when I started doing step work with her, it was a good thing because I felt like I've been in this fellowship and I got this clean time and I don't know nobody. I got nobody to call but family. They won't come over my house and most of them were still practicing, drinking or something. You know, but I started doing step work and I started to change. I started to change me and I didn't think that was possible. Because I was a headstrong person that knew what I knew, when I knew it, how I knew it, and I knew that I knew I was right. Steps changed me from that. Steps and a smart-ass sponsor changed me from feeling that way. Today, I listen to my sponsor. Thank you. I listen to my network. All the suggestions that they give me are not suggestions that I want to take. But I do take them, because I'll do whatever I have to do until you prove it wrong. And so far, nothing's come out wrong. Everything's come out right. It's kind of like my mother used to give me castor oil, and I hated that stuff. Why? It was eight of us. She made us stand in line according to age and give me castor oil, and I hated it, but it was good for me. I didn't know at the time, and this is what my sponsor does. This is what my network, they give me information. They give me stuff that I need for me, and it gets me better. It doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen. I have come to trust the suggestions that I get in my life. I've come to trust the network that I have. I wouldn't trade them for anything in the world. We cuss each other out. We cry. We hug, but when we part, we part hugging and loving each other more than it was than when we came in there. So I'm glad to have a big network. I'm glad to have a posse, and I'm glad to have a mob. And one more thing I need to share. Sometimes when you ask things of people, I'm trying to put this in a real nice way. Sometimes when you ask things of people, they tell you when you pray to be careful what you pray for. It's the same way when you ask things of people. See, because when I got this topic, I called my sponsor. I'm like, what step is this? She say, it's a workshop. It's a topic. It ain't got nothing to do with steps. Okay, I opened the back of the book, looked in the index. Out of these three words, all I could find was network. Ain't nothing about posse or mob and none of the NA literature that I have. Okay, but we human. We're human addicts. We're human recovering addicts. And I felt like I got this topic behind somebody else's shit. And I'm just speaking it plain as it can be. This is how I feel. So if cussing upsets you, accept the way I feel, not the cursing. I got this topic behind somebody else's shit. See, because I sponsor women. And when I sponsor women in the hopes that they will grow, that they will get better in every area of their life. That's what my sponsor gave me. That's all I got to give to my sponsees. So when they get better and they grow and they choose not to be part of your posse or your mob, don't hate me. Because somebody grow up, don't hate me. Thanks for allowing me to share. Well, all right.
Well, all right.
Thank you, Clarissa. We're supposed to end this meeting with a moment of silence and the serenity prayer. Anybody want to?